This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here today with Praveen Asthana, CMO of Forcepoint. He used to work at Oracle and Dell and started his career in IBM. Praveen, hello.
Hi, Steve.
You left a fairly senior role at Oracle to come to Forcepoint. Why Forcepoint?
It was a real opportunity in my mind to build the next generation of cybersecurity. So that really attracted me. It's a company that has some outstanding technology and a great management team, so I figured this was a chance to make my mark in the industry.
This is actually your 100th day in the role. Have you achieved what you wanted so far, and what's coming up?
I'm never satisfied with what I've done, so I don't think I would say that I've achieved everything I wanted to, but definitely made some progress over the last 3 months. There's a lot still on the plate. My first goal was to continue to build a team and bring in some other exceptional talent, which I'm very glad people have joined us. And then the big thing for us next is to establish our brand.
That's an interesting thing to say, actually, because one of the challenges we see in the cybersecurity industry is there seems to be another company opening up every minute, virtually. How do you stay above the noise, or how do you intend to stay above the noise?
Yeah, there's about probably 750 cybersecurity companies out there. And most of them are really point product companies that are designed to solve a very specific problem. So the way we stay above the noise is by taking a completely different approach to cybersecurity. Rather than being a purely technology approach, solving it a small problem, it's really changing the paradigm entirely away from technology and towards people, and using a human-centric approach to solve a broader set of cybersecurity issues.
Can you expand on that when you say human-centric? Are you talking about in terms of your engagement with customers?
No, what I'm talking about is that if you look at what's happening in computing today, computing has changed dramatically in the sense that it's shifting and migrating towards cloud computing. You're seeing this secular shift towards the cloud. What that's resulted in is that the traditional perimeter that used to protect the company's networks is dissolved. There is no perimeter anymore. On top of that, you have extreme mobility with employees working out of coffee shops and so on. In a situation like that, what we believe is that if you understand how the users are interacting with the data, then you can really try to protect the users and data. So I'll give you an analogy. In olden times, you would have a fort or a castle, and I watch Game of Thrones all the time, so I'm familiar with that concept. That would protect you from the invading armies. But if you didn't have a fort, if you didn't have a castle, what did you do? You needed a suit of armor so you could go out there. So that's kind of what we do, is we give the suit of armor to the human rather than worrying about trying to create a wall.
You're now on your 100th day. What have you discovered about Forcepoint that you didn't know when you started?
One of the things that really has impressed me is actually how good their products are. Forcepoint has a pretty broad portfolio of products, and in each one of them, I won't now, but I can tell you how they are essentially best of breed. So that really surprised me that the company has been able to assemble such an outstanding portfolio.
And you've got this portfolio, so what's the biggest challenge, or what's your biggest challenge ahead within the marketing function?
Forcepoint came about as several companies that were brought together, such as WebSense, Raytheon, Stonesoft, etc. The biggest challenge I see for us is talking about Forcepoint as a new entity. And so as I say, that rebranding is actually many times harder than branding, because you got to get people to forget about the old names and remember the new name. That's, I think, our biggest challenge, is to get awareness and brand association with the new Forcepoint.
Looking in more general terms, how do you see the role of CMO changing?
The role of CMO has changed dramatically because of technology. Now, if I think about my first CMO role, which was in a dot-com company about 16 years ago, compared to now, it's a huge difference. Primarily, it's driven by the MarTech stack. I would say the role of CMO really has to almost be a CTO in understanding really how all the technology that they can use and how best to use that technology to achieve what they need.
Talking about MarTech, what is your favorite marketing tool at the moment?
It's like choosing between children. We're doing a number of things that, obviously, we do a lot of digital marketing, so tools like Marketo are various. We also do a lot of account-based marketing, so demand-based is very important to us. So those are a couple of tools. But we're also moving into tools that really help with user pull in the buyer journey. The point being that instead of trying to push the content to the user, we are trying to make it more of a, if you will, a Netflix-type experience, where customers, depending on where they are, can self-select the videos they need, and then we can give recommendations on other ones. We're trying to make it much more of a pull rather than a push.
What's on your marketing dashboard? What are the KPIs you track?
Pipeline is really important to me right now. most of my KPIs are on the funnel, the velocity in the funnel, the conversion. But I'm also starting to look, as we're launching this brand campaign, into share of voice, the presence in the industry, things like that.
As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of noise around at the moment. Have you got an approach you think slightly different on that, or are you not able to share that?
You'll start seeing it very soon in some of our advertisements when it's coming out over the next few days, frankly. We have a very non-technology approach to the problem of cybersecurity. And what I mean by that is we don't talk about speeds and feeds. We just talk about the key issues the CISO has and how he can use people to solve that. And I think that entirely differentiated approach puts us in a different category than the normal run-of-the-mill talking about threats and other cybersecurity lingo.
It's interesting you say that. I think as a company that has a broad portfolio of products, you're able to do that more intelligently probably than some of the point solutions out there. You talk about targeting the CISO, but is the CXO suite a better target in some ways, or is that another area that you're trying to target? Because one of the problems we see in security is that people talk about it. It's a bit like IT, it's just a bit of nuts and bolts, but actually it's so fundamental to the business and has such a big impact when it goes wrong. Talk, target, Equifax. Actually, do you need to get some of the CEOs and the senior execs to listen as well as just the CISO?
Absolutely. I think that cybersecurity is now a board level issue for many companies. So they actually have board members who bring in the CISO or have it on their agenda every meeting. What is our cybersecurity position and profile? How well are we protected? Because as you can see from Target and Equifax, a breach would take down the entire company. The board is now getting much more engaged in it. We are targeting all levels of the company, from the user down in the trenches all the way to the board members.
You've talked about the inbound and outbound marketing. Where do you balance that in terms of inbound and outbound marketing?
We're really shifting a lot more towards digital. When I came to Forcepoint, we were very event heavy. What we are deciding to do now is much more digital, which is a much, much more effective use of our dollars.
And where do you stand on the balance between the art and science of marketing?
That's a really good question, because if I look at my own background, even though I went to do engineering, a lot of it has been influenced by the art of things. So I like brand, I like the creativity around it. To me, there's almost two distinct parts of marketing. There is the emotional connection that you want with the brand, and then there is the scientific methodology to get people nurtured on the right track with the right content and all of that. I think the balance, it really depends on two different areas. In the brand side, it's much more heavily on the art side, at least for us. That's why you'll see a much more different campaign than you would from a normal cybersecurity firm. And then obviously on the demand side, you'll see much more of the science.
You mentioned you studied engineering. What actually drew you to marketing in the first place?
It's interesting. I went to a really good engineering school in the U.S. called Caltech, and my goal in life was to be a scientist, actually. The whole thing I wanted to do was go work at a place like Bell Labs or IBM Labs or something. And at Caltech, they have one scholarship a year where they send a student to Oxford to get them away from science. I managed to get that scholarship, and I came to Oxford for a year, and that did too good a job of getting me away from science. Most of what I studied at that time was either philosophy or political science. I really liked that side of the world, if you will, and so when I went back to the U.S. to get an MBA also. I would say that experience here, the 1 year I spent in Oxford, really turned me towards thinking about the business side of things.
Changing track a little, GDPR, obviously, is coming up. What level of preparedness are you seeing amongst your customers?
A lot of the customers have it on their minds, but they haven't moved as quickly as probably they should. In some cases, I think there's a little bit of GDPR fatigue, and they're getting a lot of messages around that, and they're really trying to figure out what they should do. And in other cases, it's almost like people wait till they're really up close to the deadline before they do something. But I expect that everyone will get there. The other thing that it's impacting is companies outside Europe, because they also are affected by those regulations, and they are probably a little bit slower to understand than companies that are in Europe.
One of the problems we see in security is we've heard from other people in the security market is recruiting security professionals is intensely difficult. How does Forcepoint go about bringing in qualified, quality people without cannibalizing customers or partners?
We haven't had much of an issue with this cannibalization. We've been able to attract a lot of good talent. I think that most of the talent that we're getting are from other vendors who are competing. So if you think about these other 700 startups and other cybersecurity firms, they don't have as necessarily as good a story as potential as we do, and so we're able to attract a lot of people from there.
Obviously, you're trying to push the Forcepoint brand now, and one of the things that's very closely tied to brand is often culture within an organization. Forcepoint must have a challenge in that. In a sense, your culture has been a merger of several companies. How are you matching the brand to the culture, to the customer perception of that culture and brand? How do you tie them all together?
That's a very important area for us, is to make sure we do that. So from a culture perspective, that was one of the first things that our CEO tackled when he joined about a year ago. It was really important for him to, first of all, get the culture right of the company. So that's been a big focus for him and for his management team, to make sure that we drive a singular culture. One of the things that helps us is that we're a company that ultimately is trying to do good for the customer. If you think about it, my background before this was always in the data center with Oracle or Dell or other companies like that. I was routinely designing products that made the life easier for our customer, easier for the admin, if you will, or the CIO. But in this case, we're doing something different. We're not making life easier. We're actually protecting companies from the bad guys. It's more of a higher level thing, which helps unify a company and gives them a purpose that I think is helpful in doing this. Those are some of the things that we're doing to help drive a cultural shift. And then the second thing is the brand that we want to be known for in terms of human-centric cybersecurity. Everyone in our company understands the mission of that and understands what that means. And so that helps also unify them with, so they can speak with a single voice about the brand, just as we do from a marketing organization.
What's the biggest marketing opportunity you see at Forcepoint?
Once we have much better awareness about the new Forcepoint, that probably will help us a lot in opening more doors. As I said before, our products are outstanding. We are building a sort of a next generation capability for combining our products into a system. So we know we've got something really interesting here. The opportunities for us will open up geographically and within our existing opportunity base once our brand gets much more better known.
Forcepoint acquired Red Owl just after you joined, I think it was. How important was that acquisition, and what are you intending to do with it?
It's a very important acquisition for us. Analytics is a key component in understanding what's going on with any cyber behavior or cyber events. Red Owl really pushes the boundary for us in terms of technology that we can use to do that. Red Owl was focused on a few key verticals like financial and government. We're certainly going to expand it much more broadly. Secondly, we are going to take that technology and apply it initially to one of our key products, which is understanding cyber behaviors. Thirdly, expand it to as a unifying capability for all our products. One more thing that I think I would like to talk about is, why is Forcepoint different? Because I'm not sure I addressed that effectively. A good way of looking at it is to take an existing breach that we all know about and say, what could Forcepoint's human-centric approach have done differently? So if you take a breach like Target, if you know the characteristics of the breach, basically it was someone broke into an HVAC vendor of Target's. They stole the credentials of that HVAC vendor and used those credentials to get into Target's system. And then they were able to deposit malware, which then was able to find the point of sale data and extract it. Target had invested millions of dollars in a lot of point products to try to stop that. In fact, some of their products picked up the signals that something funny was going on. But the problem with cybersecurity today is there's just too many signals. And you have companies that have on the order of millions of signals a year that they have to kind of look at. So when you have too many signals, it starts to all become noise. Our systems would have done in that case would be something like, hey, we would look at the normal flow, we would understand the normal flow of human access and data flow in the company. And so what we would have picked up on is, why is this HVAC vendor coming in at this hour of the night when they normally never do? Those kind of things would raise flags for us. Why is data moving from here to here? And those kind of things would have, and so we would have been able to put prioritization on the signals. And I think that's one of the big differences that we bring by a human-centric approach than the normal.
What you're talking there is user behavior analytics, isn't it? In a sense, that's what you're using to detect the noise on the network or whatever's happening on the network to identify what people do normally and track abnormal usage.
In a sense, it's that. The difference between the normal UEBA market and us is that the usual way of people doing UEBA is rearwards looking, i.e. you look at logs of something that's happened, then you analyze them. Problem with that is that it's the usual shutting the barn door after the horses have run out. What we do is much more real time, so you can actually detect the incidents as they're happening.
Do you look on the network traffic? Where do you look for the traffic?
We definitely look at the network, so that's how we understand the flow of data. And we also look at understanding the user, because we know the identity, and what is that user doing? What data are they accessing and why? Because one of the biggest things, by the way, is that 80% of breaches are caused by impersonations.
What's the one question you'd like to ask another CMO?
How do you survive with only 24 hours in a day?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.